who we are. Christian Business Connections, right? We come, we share a meal. That's what we do every time, first Friday every month. We share a message that's business related that we can take and bring back to our workplaces. Because guess what? God cares about our work. And whether we're in full-time ministry or full-time regular work, God cares about it very, very much. He wants you to know that he wants to honor you through your business, okay? Through your work. Because just because you're working a regular job doesn't mean he doesn't care, right? And that's the whole genesis and the reason why we gather is so we can get encouraged by one another through our work, because that's where we spend most of our time. And traditionally at church, there's just not a ton of sermon pulpit type material on our workplace. Like how should I handle this business situation or this client relationship or this donor situation? Like, how do I honor God through this? So this is a group that helps equip us for those moments. So really grateful for all of you here. I'm going to hand it over to David Little now with Convene, who is sponsoring this lunch. Really excited about that. He's also going to introduce our speaker. So I'll come back up here at the end after Lee's done with speaking, but everyone give it up for David Little with Convene.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate that. This lunch is a special place for me. It was really just about a year and a half ago, God opened up an opportunity for me to come to Reno. I didn't even live in Reno, and start a Convene group focused on business leaders integrating their faith and their work. But I came over here, I knew no one in this entire town. And it was either Tim or Al invited me to come to this lunch. And I've met so many beautiful people that have touched my life. People have opened their homes, let me stay with them. I've met some wonderful friends that I've gone on trips with. And a lot of it has been just from just being here at this luncheon, showing up. I know it's hard. Walking in here, you don't know people. I just encourage you to come, and I encourage you to bring a friend and let them experience that too. And I hope that your lives are transformed the same way my life has been transformed. A year ago, I never thought I'd be holding this microphone here. I'm super appreciative of the work that Alan and Tim and so many, and Lee and some of the other people that, and Gidget and Carol, and, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into pulling this off. It's all volunteers. But I appreciate you showing up. I appreciate you telling other people. I want to see the workplace ministry, people living out their faith in their workplace. I want to see that transform this entire area, is my dream.
Amen.
And it may take 100 years for that to happen, but I believe it can happen. And so, yes, I do lead a Convene group, but I also really enjoy connecting people with FCCI and C12 and all the other things. And if you are interested in integrating faith and work to transform the city, reach out to me and we'll grab lunch. I'll probably give you a book. People can tease me because I love to hand out really good books, leadership books that I have read. And then we can chat about those. Through my work with Convene, I've had the opportunity to meet with Lee Truax. And Lee has a great story. I'll share a little bit about that. And he's come all the way from Tennessee to be here with us. It's a big commitment, away from his family, away from his work. And we are very grateful that he is here. And to introduce Lee, one of the things, as we spent some time together yesterday, is we both have a passion and interest in data and high quality data. So I'm going to share a few interesting stats about Lee. He's been married for 41 years, the same woman. He has 7 children. He had, because he says everyone asks, 4 boys, then a girl, then 2 more boys. He has been the president of CBMC, the Christian Businessmen's Connection, for 7 years. He served with FCCI as their president for 2 years during COVID. We think that might count for 10 years. He's also served with Convene to help them launch some international groups. And he has co-founded bestresults.ai in 2024, and he'll be sharing some of his experience with that. An interesting thing that I learned about him just yesterday, to demonstrate his deep and lasting commitment to high-quality data and statistics, he has been on the New England Patriots stats crew for the past 36 years. So with that, I would like to welcome Lee to come up here and share with us about leading with faith and AI.
Put that in front of the speaker. All right. Well, I am delighted to be with you. I have some friends in the room because when I was with FCCI, I had a chance to meet and get to Reno a couple times. This mic is really live. Thank you. And so it's good to see some faces that I recognize. Greg, good to see you. And Alan and Carol, thrilled to be back in Reno. Also thrilled that David has a spot over by Lake Tahoe, so that's going to be a bonus for tomorrow, so I'm excited about that as well. And my wife is very envious of that. I will let her know that you applauded for our 41 years. That all goes to her, and appreciate that as well. So let's jump in. Am I done already? Here, I'm going to
evacuate.
Yeah. AI. So one of the things that God showed my business partner and I very clearly, working with some amazing ministries in the marketplace and understanding, I am thrilled to see you all. I told Tim this morning, connected and involved with your faith in the marketplace. I believe that the marketplace presents an opportunity for Christians to overcome the walls of our churches. And I'm a huge church guy. I'm faithfully committed to my local church. But I know how difficult it is for pastors oftentimes to connect with other pastors and churches to connect with other churches. And sometimes we pick up those picayune doctrinal differences and we don't get together. And I think, honestly, the enemy loves that. And the marketplace allows us not to worry about that. Because when I meet you in the marketplace, I don't go, so what denominational background do you have? I am thrilled to call you brother and sister in the Lord and to know that we are working for his kingdom in the marketplace. And by the way, you'll see a couple things in my presentation today, which will tell you that we're in a good place in the marketplace serving the Lord. We'll talk a little about the theology of work. I hope you have one. We'll talk a little bit about being an image bearer. That is a unique design that God gave you to glorify him uniquely in the place that he's put you in your work. And so I absolutely rail against the idea that work is a four-letter word and that we, you know, I owe, so off to work I go. All the other kind of negativity that we have in the world, because we as believers understand that God had an original plan for work. And guess what, folks? It was before the fall. And so work is a wonderful gift from a great worker, the best worker in the universe, our Creator God. So what about this AI thing? Well, let's talk a little bit about it. First off, I'm going to set the stage of context. Number one, AI is no golden calf, nor should it be. It is not the solution for where God is asking you to take your business. I believe it's a phenomenal tool. We'll talk a little bit about that. Implement it well, and it's important that you implement it well because the secular world is all over this. So one thing I encourage believers is not to be laggards in understanding how we can use it well and to demonstrate how to do it in a Christian framework, and we'll talk about that. But what we're not talking about is AI ever replacing almighty intelligence. We are talking about artificial intelligence. And I just want to kind of set the stage that there is an almighty intelligence. And that is what we want to kind of have rule the day, even as we're talking about artificial intelligence. So it is an important differentiator. So what my background is, boy, those slides are teeny. I can't even read them. So I'm going to walk over here. And I even know what's up here. So 30 years enterprise technology design. I worked for some great companies, HP. I worked for Compaq Computer Corporation, but that became HP. I worked for AMD doing business development for them. Love the marketplace. Spent 10 years in not-for-profit management, now doing a startup. Been involved in nonprofit leadership, as you already heard. And really excited to see what God is doing in the marketplace right now and how we can reach people who may never darken the door, the threshold of a church. They are with you every day. And so we process that together as well, the opportunity. All right, so however, there is a gap. And there's also a gap in understanding AI, and I call that the Sunday to Monday gap. And that gap exists because on Sunday, we confess that every person is made in the image of God. And on Monday, we go into that critical meeting, perhaps a board meeting, perhaps an executive team meeting, and we say, let's implement AI, and we're going to be able to reduce headcount, we're going to be able to increase efficiencies, we're going to make the bottom line better, and suddenly we've forgotten that God's greatest treasure is people. And so what I'm asking to do for you as a professing believer in the marketplace, regardless of your position in the marketplace, is to consider closing that gap and understanding that it absolutely works to engage with what you know on Sunday to be true on Monday through whatever in the marketplace. In fact, I wrote a book about that called The Monday Problem, and many of the frameworks that we're going to talk about today I've expressed in that book. The reality is, it's not a weak faith that's causing us this Sunday to Monday. We've been taught a particular framework. How many of you have gone to any kind of advanced business school training or business degree or whatnot? A lot of hands. And so the reality is, most times, and I have an MBA from Liberty University, you'd think the largest Christian university in America would be able to figure this out. But I was presented the marketplace framework, and then we had to write a Christian integration paper at the end of the economics course, the marketing course, whatever. And I'm not here to say anything negative about Liberty. It was a great school, great experience. But the reality was, even they added my faith as a plug-in. Okay? And so, if you believe that the truth of economics, the truth of capitalism, the truth of whatever it is that you're learning is God's truth, and David and I are having a fascinating conversation on Pontius Pilate's question, what is truth? But we'll put that aside. That's a little deep for today. The reality is we should be able to teach even economics and accounting from a Christian worldview. And so your integration matters. And could probably do an assessment by asking a few questions about how you think about work and how you think about success and determine kind of where are you on the Sunday-Monday continuum. But AI falls right into the crosshairs of this. And so we want to talk about discernment first, adoption second, and we want to think about not only is it matter applying our Christian faith to the implementation of AI and having a different framework, but let's realize the world's framework isn't working. So I've got a couple stats up here. I'll read the fine print close by. Announced in 2025, the largest since 2020 is 1.17 million U.S. job cuts. And 55,000 of those cuts explicitly cited AI. And there's this thing out there called AI washing. Anybody heard of it? That's where we cut for other reasons, even cut for profitability, but we blame AI, and we do it in a positive spin. Well, with the implementation of AI in our organization, we'll be able to reduce the cost of overhead, aka we'll cut jobs. But the reality is sometimes those AI projects never happen. So AI may be taking a bigger black eye than it should. We'll stash that one over here and talk about it again. 20%. Did you know that the global engagement in work, global, measured by the Gallup organization, is 20%? That means that 80% of our workers globally are not engaged or negatively disengaged and even sabotaging their businesses. Hopefully you've not experienced that, but some of us have. And so what does that mean? That's something that we need to face head on when we think about AI, which has been introduced through so much fear, uncertainty, and doubt that many of the people on your payroll are absolutely, without saying it, afraid that their job is going to be lost to AI. So we're going to talk a little bit about today about some of the things you need to process as a leader and how we dialogue on those things. And I have some recommendations. And then of that disengagement, that is a number that's too hard to get my head around. Globally, $10 trillion lost because of workers who are not engaged in their work. So those are big numbers. There is an interesting also, many of you are familiar with the company Klarna. They are one of the first companies to come out and announce that they were going to replace everyone they could possibly replace with AI. They made big news because everybody kind of took a deep breath and said, is this the future? Is this what's going to happen to workforces? Well, the kind of, that made front page news. What made like page 20 later was the fact that Klarna has reversed its celebrated AI replacement strategy and rehired a huge population of humans to do the work. So why am I bringing that up? Because you're hearing a lot of things about AI. You're hearing that it is, you know, the coming savior for my business, wrong. It is this thing that's going to eliminate my workforce, wrong. It is the solution to all of my business problems, wrong. But in there are grains of truth that we need to talk about and apply. And so that's my hope, is that you leave here today with some sense of confidence on how to go forward in decision-making, how to deal with God's greatest treasure, which is people, your people, how to build a healthy culture in an age of AI. And so those are the things we're going to tackle today. And I have a reference for you. Some of you are familiar with the men of Issachar. Does that ring any bells?
They understood the times.
Thank you, Greg. They understood the times, and they understood with knowledge what Israel should do. And from that perspective, they were commended not for having the newest tools, but they were commended because they were reading the moment accurately. And that's what we as Christian leaders need to do, not just with AI, but we need to do it certainly with AI, is read the moment accurately and not forget the biblical truths that we know to be true. And so how do we understand a few dramatic things? And one of them is the skills that your people have today may be irrelevant within months unless we keep pace. So that is a fact. That doesn't mean AI is coming for their job. It means that some of their skills, they need training. They need upskilling. They need an understanding. By the way, I've taught nearly 100 organizations, somewhere close to 2,000 people over the last 2 years. And the most amazing live interactive cohorts that I lead have the executive sponsor, be it the CEO, the business owner, the steward who brought the team to the table. We do what are called closed cohorts, which are one organization. We do open cohorts where literally there's a number of organizations learning at the same time. But the most healthy ones are where the team feels invested in, because the leader is investing in the team. And that's what we mean by concern about skills and skills development. Your business or ministry can fall behind competitors before you ever notice it happening. And that's also a reality that we need to deal with. And stewardship of this moment matters. Do not miss the chance to advance the kingdom through your business. How many of you recognize you are a steward of your business and you have an opportunity to advance God's kingdom? Right? And so go out and tell your other Christian business leaders that you don't see here at the table today, because that is something that is men of Issachar level stuff. We have an opportunity through the marketplace to build God's kingdom. All right, well, let's keep going. Discernment first, adoption second, never the other way around. So we're going to talk about some things like taking a wisdom pause. Excuse me, I think I jumped ahead. Okay, how do I back up? Learn to click early. All right, so here are some other things we need to take into note. And I feel like my slide fonts shrunk. They were thrown in the wash or something before I got here. Because they're really tiny, and I don't have a laptop up here, so I apologize for keep walking over here and looking at these, but I want to get them right. So by the end of 2026, agents ship inside software you already know. How many of you have already seen AI popping up everywhere in your applications? Has anybody ever taken the time to be trained on how to use it well within your application? Or do you, like me, sometimes just ignore it? Microsoft Copilot is a perfect example of that. I don't want that little Copilot. Does anybody old enough to remember the little paperclip that came up and annoyed the tar out of you? Man, I shut that setting off as soon as I could find it. So, I'm good without it, thank you. I should have to squint like they have to squint to look at my slides. But the reality is we have this thing going on in our software that's going to continue to happen. And I got to pick up the pace. By 2027, here's an interesting fact. We all know that we're talking about agentic AI now. Whether or not you understand what an agent is, an agent well-run, well-developed, the reality is that 40% of those projects will be canceled due to unclear value and weak risk management. That's according to the Gartner Group. That's not a good statistic. And by 2028, hours move, then decisions move. So here's the deal. A lot of our daily hours will be automated for the knowledge worker, and agents will be handling 15% of our routine decisions. So the wave is coming. How do we manage it? And by 2029, the skills line, at least half of knowledge workers will need new skills to work with, govern, or build agents. So I won't take a poll, but there's a couple questions I usually ask. The one question I will take a poll on is, how many of you would say to me that your organization has a well-articulated, communicated, and trained for AI policy for your organization? One, and I already know what she does, and she doesn't count. That she runs a business that does AI. And one, okay, two, maybe three. Folks, if you understand the need for guardrails and guideposts in the AI, the one thing I urge you to do, and we offer it as a free extension of you meeting me today, is an AI policy and security workshop to lay a framework for how do we deal with AI, because there's a lot of bad things that are happening right under your nose and you probably don't know it. One of them we call the AI shadow, where your employees are doing what I call bringing their own AI to work, or bringing the work that you have for them to an AI that you know nothing about. Why? Because there's amazing productivity gains. They're embarrassed to tell you, by the way, because a lot of times the work product is better than they've ever done before. And so I talk about people having an amnesty day where you say to your team, look, today's an amnesty day, nobody gets fired, nobody gets in trouble, but I need to know all the AI tools you're currently using within the workplace or bringing your work home to, so that we can understand where the value is that you see in those, and we create standards to make sure data is protected, right? IP is protected, and you're blessed by being able to use these incredible tools. That alone is worth the price of admission today, because you guys got to get that done. If you're in a position of authority and managing or in a leadership position, AI policy, I want you to walk out of here and think about that. And I'll give you a QR code where you can connect with me, and I'll tell you when we offer the next one. We're doing them pretty much every other week because there's just that much ground to cover with people to create that blueprint of policy. All right, let's keep going. Here's a recommendation, another recommendation. Not humans versus AI, but AI managed by people and managed well. So the reality is the human leads and the agents go and execute for you. There's a saying that we could talk about, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone about it, is there are free agents. You know, kind of like a football player who's out there waiting to get signed by a team. He doesn't quite understand whose team he's on. Very capable wide receiver, whatever. but he's not connected to a team, but he wants to throw the football. He wants to catch the football. I usually say quarterback instead of wide receiver. And he wants to do it well. In fact, he's out there running around, being a distraction maybe. That's an agent in AI that you don't have with a set of rules and guardrails and an understanding of the context of who you are, what's your mission, your vision, your core values, and what's the exact assignment that that agent exists to go and execute against. So all the agent development we're doing has a QA process, has rules, and the agent operates within an ecosystem. We call it an AI operating system, so that that agent is not a free agent. It fully understands the context. By the way, I know there's a couple of real estate folks in here. I'll ask this question. What are the three most important things about real estate?
Location,
location, location. What are the three most important things about AI? Don't be shy.
Control, compression.
And that's a good one. That's not it, though. And that's what I get all the time. Prompts. Wrong. You know why? The most important thing. AI is the best prompt writer on the planet. I can show you how to have the AI write really detailed, complex, excellent prompts that you would never think how to write. The three most important things in AI is context. It needs to understand. By the way, it's the most important thing in your life, too. If you understand who you are in Christ, nothing can rock you. But here's the reality. Every output passes review. We call this a human in the loop. When we get an agent out there doing work for us, we want to make sure through quality assurance that it is doing the work. And so trust is built by structure. Rules, roles, scopes, audit trails, quality gates make the system reliable and accountable. All those things have existed as important factors of enterprise systems and enterprise computing, which is the game I've played for many, many years. I had the thrill of being responsible for enterprise systems that Compaq and HP built and installed in Fidelity Investments data centers. You want to see a lockdown environment. If you're running a company that the SEC can come in and close down within 24 hours of your inability to process a trade, it was Fidelity. And so we tested, and then locked down to make sure that everything went according to plan. Well, we need the same vigor when it comes to AI agents, and there are good ways to do that. All right, let's keep going. So, three doctrines that change everything. If you are a professing believer, and I cover these in detail in my book if you want more information, because I got to get moving here. I already said this, people are God's image bearers. We see that in Genesis. You were uniquely designed to bear the image of God in unique ways. And not only does he love you, here's something I have to tell myself sometimes, he even likes you. Okay? God does not dislike you. Bust that one today. All right, the second thing we know from Genesis 2 is that work is sacred. We already talked about that. Have a solid theology of work. AI changes none of these, okay? And that's the point I'm trying to make here. And then finally, Mark 10, leaders are to be servants. So what does servant leadership look like in how you implement AI in your organization or whatever decision-making level you're at? So we get these three right, and the hard calls get clearer. Not easier, but clearer. Because a couple things, real quick caveats. You may have all the knowledge, facts, data, and information, hopefully scrubbed and clean and well understood, quality data, David, right? You may have all that at your fingertips because of AI, but you do not have wisdom. And there's a big wisdom gap that the next generation is going to have because they're going to come in and all of the basic mundane tasks of learning how to actually operate in the business will be offloaded to AI. And if you're of my generation, or my dad's generation, you came in the mailroom and you were just happy to have a part. And you learned by doing. And you started with the menial things and you learned your way up. Well, kids coming out of college with AI now are not coming in to fulfill basic bookkeeping or basic marketing or basic. Why? Because the AI is doing it. So how do we mentor the next generation? This is a free sideline. How do we mentor the next generation coming into our organization? Well, in light of the fact that they are going to be elevated in their ability to use data and knowledge, it's by teaching them wisdom. And that's a relational transfer. That's not a computer transfer. So how do we do that well? These are leadership considerations when I'm thinking about AI. The other thing is, remember, AI replaces workflows. The lie of the worldly framework is it replaces people. It doesn't have to replace people. We can take the most menial, mundane workflows. By the way, here's something that's a really important fact. Most people start by looking at AI from the position of replacing a position when they have never even rewritten or considered a workflow. Start with your workflows. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but most of our organizations have not treated our work like a system, and we don't even have an SOP for the different tasks, a standard operating procedure. By the way, a little hint, the AI is phenomenal at writing SOPs. It'll even give you prompts for each of those action steps to help you get those action steps completed. All right, so let's keep talking. What do we want to do? We don't want to release people. We don't want to cut staff to make short-term bank. What we want to do is upskill and expand. We want to free people from research, analysis, composing, reporting, routine workflows, and redirect that time into quality growth relationships, innovation, and new lines of business. There was a thing 20 plus years ago. David could tell us all about it. Data mining. Your future business opportunities are in your data. Most of us never had the tools or the money to go and have that data mine to find the opportunities. AI makes that really cool. And so let's teach our folks how to offload the menial routine workflows. And let's look at things we've never thought we could do with our business before. And let's leverage the AI's ability to be our cognitive super assistant to process through those things. Again, just a little thing to think about. I do teach a number of these skills and ideas. That's a brief advertisement. Two things quietly drive most AI decisions. Here's your deal. Borrow frameworks. We can cut costs. We can cut head count. We can do the framework of the world. There's high pressure to do that because most of your consultants, most of your models, your large language models are pushing this. You as a believer need to take a holy pause. I call it a wisdom pause, and you need to look at these two driving forces and reject them. One is the conformity cause. Well, everybody in my industry is bringing in AI and letting people go. That's called a borrowed framework. The second is manufactured urgency. I love this verse, Proverbs 19:2. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? So there's a lot of pressure right now. Sometimes it's board pressure, sometimes it's executive team pressure, sometimes it's industry pressure to adopt AI before you've planned. We all know that would be a bad idea with almost every other aspect of our business. AI is probably the most disruptive technology that we have ever seen. So we must take the pause and say, how do we do this well? I have four questions. I hate how this font is so small. If you ask for my slides, I promise to update the fonts and make them bigger. Whose framework is framing? These are the questions I want you to ask. When you go in on Monday morning, next Monday, and you're talking about your AI project, here's the questions I want you to ask. Whose framework is framing this decision? Does this honor the image of God in our people and the sacredness of their work? Second, who does this deployment serve? Our people's development or only a metric? Now, metrics are important. I'm a big metrics guy. But who does this decision serve? And what is the true return counted honestly? Because if God's greatest treasure is people, we can't cut our way to flourishing. And sometimes you may be there, and God sees the profits of your business secondary to the development of the people he's put in your care. Okay? So, different way of thinking, but important. So the next time you go into a meeting, ask these out loud. Whose framework is framing this? Whose vocabulary did this proposal use? If we deleted the words efficiency and headcount, what argument would remain? That's a good one. What are we measuring and who chose that measure for us? Would I make this same call if my whole team were? And you're going to read that. Okay. Second, does this honor the image of God and people? Do we take the drudgery off my people or take my people off the payroll? Right? You can read these questions for yourself, but these are the questions you need to ask. And I'm going to move ahead quickly. Two questions that separate us, separate stewards from operators. Right? Who does this employment serve? We already talked about that. And what is the true return, honestly? How many hours came back, and where exactly did we redeploy them? Have a plan. We don't want to take things off people's plate and then leave them going, well, what am I here for? So there's kind of an elephant in the room that we could talk about. And here's some realities that I found in real-world cases, and that is, this is not faithfulness versus performance. In other words, do you think the Most High God is going to penalize your business by caring about his most treasured thing, people? Because I don't. And I've got plenty of examples where treasuring people over the dollar has come back to be the greatest decision ever made without it looking that way going in. Okay? A couple of those. There's a food. All of the names have been changed and some of the paradigms have been changed. I did a compilation in the book because I didn't have NDAs to share with you every story. But these are from those compilations. 6% turnover and a 30 to 40% industry turnover of a food manufacturer that I worked with. Why? Because she was upfront with her people that this is what we're going to look at and this is how we're going to go forward. So what we've seen is 23% higher profitability, 18% higher sales productivity, and 21 to 51% lower turnover. For firms that said, I want to do this from a biblical framework. Remember the numbers I showed you at the beginning? How many of the systems are failing? I'll remind you of those in a minute. So the honest conversation your team is already waiting for. Go early. Get ahead of the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's all over social media. AI is here to take my job. Go early. And if you don't know, one of my good friends and apologist, John Lennox, has been lauded because he says, that's a good question. I don't know. Be honest with your people. Tell the truth, including the parts that are still uncertain. Name what will change. Be concrete about what AI will take off their plate. Right? Make keepable commitments. We go into our AI conversation saying, no one's going to lose their job. Right? And that food manufacturer that I mentioned, that's the first thing she said. Look, we got to figure out AI, but let me just tell you, we're going to figure it out together, and nobody here is going to lose their job. Now, some people's jobs changed, and some chose to leave. That was the 6%. Her industry is a 30 to 40% turnover industry. Invite them in. Adoption follows ownership. Your IP, your SOPs, may exist in the head of those who are doing the job. Don't discount that. Sometimes there's wisdom in the way things are done, even when it's not documented or done the way you think it should be documented. You've got IP. Don't dismiss that IP. Upskill that IP. Help people to understand and have ownership on how would we work with AI to rewrite this workflow. All right, I think I'm almost out of time. Yep, I'm very close. I'm at my final challenge. People, I believe we are here at such a time for this to expand our territory. Some of us remember when the prayer of Jabez was kind of the latest fad. We all read it and we started to pray it, Lord, expand my territory. Here's our opportunity, I think, with AI to expand our territory and to be a top-performing organization by leveraging the good of the tool of AI and doing it with a biblical framework. Every AI decision you make this year is raw materials for the account you will have one day to give. And so how is it that we're processing? Now, I don't know what you came here for. Maybe you came here to learn about the block and tackle of how to use AI in your business. I do that. But I think these are the foundational, more important leadership questions that we must consider before we even get into the block and tackle. If you are interested in my recently done book, it's a 135-page, really, handbook to implementing AI from a biblical framework. It has all those questions in there. It also has some additional audits and a flourishing ROI model, and it is meant to be worked through by the leader and potentially the team. It's in a format for discussion. That is a location that you can go and get that. I'm not going to get rich on the book, folks. I wrote the book because I believe these are fundamental and foundational issues for the believer to answer in the process of implementing AI. And then finally, I made you another offer today, and that was you can book an AI conversation with me or my business partner or the team, and that is we'll help you develop a role plan for one of the roles in your organization. What can the AI do? What workflows might we go after? We have an assessment. We also have a customized roadmap that we do for your firm. Where should we go first? What's the greatest ROI in my organization? Now, we could talk about the features of Claude Cowork. We could talk about ChatGPT's most recent release, 5.6 Sol, and its new work capability. We could talk about, is Gemini a good solution and where do I use that? All those things are things you can find out, and we'll help you find some of those things out. I do believe in an organization subscribing at a business level subscription or better and understanding the implications for your IP and your data. We'll talk about that in AI policy workshop. You can get to that. That page has a whole bunch of stuff on it, including the policy workshop, which you can sign up for. Why is that up there? Not because I'm trying to sell you anything. I believe, as I saw in 2024, that AI is the most significant disruptor for businesses that has ever come down the pipe. The Industrial Revolution holds nothing over the AI revolution. So handling it well is really, really important. Prayerfully, with wisdom, and open communication and transparency is the path to take. And I believe that will be the most God-honoring path you can take. And I'm also a firm believer that if God put you in business, even through the thick and the thin, he intends to use that business to be stewarded well to his glory and to the kingdom impact that it can have in your part of Reno, or wherever it is that you're working, as unto him, Colossians 3:23. So I want to thank you for your time. And if we have any time for questions, if I left any, that's what we'll do now.
Let's do two or three questions. We got about 5 more minutes, so let's do 2 or 3 questions. I'd love to field some for the audience here.
And you can read, you can't read. But if you could read, there's 4 questions up there you could use.
Did you bring any books with you?
I have one.
I'll take it.
Without an, without an ISBN code on it, because it's a pre... You got it, brother, if you want it. Other questions?
I got one. How are NFL teams using AI?
Oh, man. I don't understand why they're not using it more, but we can chip footballs, we can chip players, we can do all kinds of things, but we'd be removing the fun of humanity off the field. And so I actually hope they don't. You're starting to see it, right? You see the reviews where they're putting a plane of the hash mark, right? They're extending it, they're putting a chip in a ball, and they're going, where exactly? Because here's one thing that you all need to realize. This is worth, again, the price of admission. A football is not a yard long. Yeah. So when they put that football down, if it breaks the plane of the hash mark, it is the next yard, even if it only did it by that much. If it is short of that, I don't care how much you think that was a first down, it is not a first down. You know who's God in that question? Not the stats crew, the ref who puts the ball on the field. Wherever he puts it, that is gospel. And by the way, they misspot that ball more than you realize. Go ahead.
That's good. That's
good. Questions? I hope I'm helpful. I hope I gave you some things to think about. They're the bigger picture things. Yes, sir.
Use the, and I hear about the word agent.
Uh-huh.
So what, And honestly, I don't know what that means. I know it's some piece of AI running around in, for me, supposedly.
Yep.
What size companies use agents? You know, are
great question. Every size company should be using agents at this point.
Where do you get them?
So you're going to create them, and they are a set of, we use a five-file agent configuration that includes, right, the purpose, the scope, the outcome, what we call a golden example, the quality check, and so there's a number of files that the LLM, the large language model, reads to know exactly what that process can do on your behalf. So when we say agent, all we're saying is, you're giving agency, we understand that in business, we're giving agency to the AI to go and do something autonomous of us working the keyboard. When AI started, we started what we call generative conversational AI, where everything you did with the AI was say, what do I do with this? Gave you an answer. Now, what do I do now? Gave you an answer. Now, what do I do with the answer you just gave me? Right? It was all kind of, and that's where we all thought, I got to learn how to prompt AI. The reality is I can string all those prompts together to create a workflow. The next step beyond that is to send an agent who understands the rules of the road, the goal of that workflow. I can send them off to do that on my behalf. That is both really exciting and amazing and super scary, because if you don't put rules around, for example, Lee, I'll use you in the back of the room. If I don't tell my agent what piece of real estate that I want, what it looks like, where it is, how it functions, how many bedrooms, how many baths, he's going to be showing me and producing all kinds of properties that I'm not interested in. Your AI agent will do the same thing.
And it can go buy one for you that you didn't want it to buy. Like, you know, we're wiped out of database.
That's the one thing we never give to an agent, is the ability to use our wallet.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Okay. All right, let's give him an applause.
Thank you.
All right, that was fantastic. Thank you so much, Lee. That was so good. We really appreciate you coming. The difference between knowledge and wisdom from a Christian flank framework, I believe, is so important when making these AI decisions. Because regardless of whether you agree with it or think it's the boogie monster or think that it's a sign of the end days, it's coming, right? AI is here. It's not just coming.
It's here.
It's here. It's coming, and it's here, and it's rapidly getting better. So I'm really grateful, Lee, that you come and talk to us and help us develop a framework, a theological framework, to make these decisions as business leaders. It's fantastic. Okay, so little business. So this next month, September, is the Friday of Labor Day. We will not meet because I probably wouldn't have a very good attendance. But what we're going to do, our next luncheon is going to be Friday, October 2nd, and we're going to have a human trafficking panel. We're going to have Melissa Holland from Awaken. And the best name in the business, Vip Vipperman from Texas, is coming into town. He's going to sit on a panel. He comes from combating, his company is called Evil Ventures Fund. And this company is dedicated to eradicating human trafficking through for-profit business. So we're going to have both the nonprofit and the for-profit side here on a panel to talk to us about trafficking, also both locally with Melissa and Awaken, and then nationally and internationally with Vip. He's coming in from Texas. So make sure that you register. We'll get the announcements out early. We'll make sure we push them out so we can get a good October luncheon. So we got October, first Friday in October, first Friday in November, first Friday in December. Okay, so we can all take a little break next month and then get ready for our three in a row coming up through the fall. So if you are a chaplain, will you please raise your hand? Okay, something that we do that's pretty special here if you've never been is, if you need prayer, ask a chaplain. They're here. They're here to pray for you. We really appreciate them coming and being with us. It's just so great that we can all be together in this mission as one body. So I will pray, and then we will get on with our week in, week in. So Father, we thank you, God. I ask for wisdom. I know that through our scriptures, through your scriptures and James, God, when we ask for wisdom and we believe that you'll give it to us, that you do. So I just pray for wisdom over this room. Wisdom over this room in implementing the technology that's here. And Father, I pray that we'd be able to see this through your lens, God, that you are the ultimate creator. And God, what you have given us is good. And I pray that you'll help us not fall into temptations for God to use wisdom and discernment to use this technology for human flourishing. So, Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this group. God bless these people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see y'all in October. Thank you.